travel on The Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to Ryanair. Nothing quite says I love you like a Ryanair gift card. The perfect gift for couples.
Polo Canila, Irish Independent travel editor, is here with some last minute holiday housekeeping tips to make sure everything goes to plan. So if I have the tickets booked, I'm ready to go between now and then, what do I need to do?
You're laughing, for starters. Good work getting that far. I'm in the position, similar position myself, looking forward to annual leave in a couple of weeks. And it's important to just get the last checklist together at this stage so that you don't kind of end up at the airport with a blip or open the passport and the dates wrong and all that. So I have a few things to look out for. And I thought I'd start first of all with the bags. So as sure as the summer schedules, there's always controversy about bag sizes and what you're allowed and what you're not allowed. And you know, it's confusing these days booking the various family plus or priority this or super saver that as you're going through.
I see a lot of people sharing pictures on social media of bags that they have rammed into measuring devices saying they wouldn't let me on with this thing.
Yes. And so here's the letter of the law. Ryanair's carry on 10 kg has to be 55 by 40 by 20 centimetres. You can find that online now. You don't have to make notes while you're listening to us. If it's correct, it'll fit into the bag sizer. If it's not, the fee for checking it in at the gate can be anything from 46 to 60 quid. So it's quite a sting. Aer Lingus does a slightly different system. If you want to bring your 10 kg on, it's a tenner and you can check it in for free. But if you bring it to the gate and it's outsized or overweight, that's 35 quid. And its measurements are 4 centimetres different in terms of the depth. It's a bit weird. Most bags, when you get the measuring...
Is that the difference because it's Airbus versus Boeing? Is that what it is?
No, it's just simply each airline has finicky little differences, but let me reassure you that when you get the measuring tape out, most will be fine. You'll find you'll measure it and go, oh, mine is under that by a good 2 centimetres. But the important point here is to do it and check it before you go.
Now, can I ask about this? You know, when you go to check in a bag and they say, oh, you're 2 kilos over, and you think, well, okay, now I have to go like a hamster and stuff things into my cheeks and take them onto the flight. The net weight on the aircraft is the same. Do any of them allow you just to say, look, between all of it, can we just even out the total net number across all the bags and be legal?
Good question. And I asked that at the gate last week because I had a wobble. I was bringing a 20 kg bag, had weighed it at 19 at home and it was 20.1 or something. So I asked and they said, yes, bag pooling it's called. It's what you're asking about. That means two passengers can check in the bags as long as you're on the same flight reservation, Anton. So if you've checked in separately with your buddy and you meet at the airport, you can't pool the weight. So if you have a 21 and he has a 19 or whatever it may be, an 11 and a 9, you can't do it. So just to give you the quote exactly from Ryanair, if you have 2 20 kg check-in bags, so that's 40 kg in total, one could weigh 15 and the other could weigh 25. So that's what they say, that it is allowed.
But as long as you and I are travelling together on the same reservation.
On the same reservation. So it was me and a family member in that instance. So yes, just you got to do all of this. Just check it in advance. Check what you're bringing. Check that your bags weigh up. And it's a good idea to do it a couple of weeks ahead because then you can, if you need to make the change, you're not the person taking out the books with your bag on the floor in the airport and, you know.
What about planning for, you know, the way some people, when they go out carrying a toothbrush and they come back carrying the entire contents of a department store.
I also did this recently and my tip for that is to go light, and if you need to come back heavy you can bring a soft bag, like we have a sort of a fold out duffel bag that weighs nothing and you can crumple it up, and if you want to put dirty laundry in it inside your case for the way back, great. But you can also, if you do go shopping and you do buy shoes and clothes and whatnot, you can then bring back a whole bag that you only pay for one way, so that'll save you. You know, the bags, I cannot believe how much they've gone up in the years I've been covering this. Right. Ryanair's first check-in bag fee was something like 350, and it is today over 50 euro to carry a 20 euro. It can be over 50 euro to carry a 20 kg bag.
Is that a shift in the business model from trying to dissuade you from checking in bags to realizing we can make money from checking in bags?
It's both, because they want to turn the aircraft around as quickly as they can. And they are making enormous amounts of money out of what they call ancillary extras. So that's anything from your seat selection to your bag size.
What about then the planning for when you go away to avoid that thing of getting to the airport and realizing, oh yeah, passport, that's at home.
Go this evening or whenever you're home, take the passports out of the drawer and have a quick scan of the dates. And the main reason to do that is you think, I'm grand, I did it 5 years ago. The kids expire after 5 years and that's really easy to forget. Passports for most people are only checked you know, at the airport or when you're going on holidays, because because everything is preloaded into your aircraft or your airline apps these days, you don't need to check the dates on them, so it can come up on you. The other thing, the document you should have is an EHIC card. That's the old E111. It's a piece of plastic. It entitles you to the same free public health care you get in Ireland in the EU.
Your passport doesn't do that, no?
No, your passport doesn't. You need the EHIC card. So I've used that. Our family has used that ourselves in Spain and showed up with it and got brilliant healthcare on the spot. Just, you know, I would say even better than we would have got in Ireland in terms of queues and all that. It's free, but it does take, it can take up to 2 years to update, two weeks to get it back, I should say. And it expires every 4 years. So that's why you have to just check the dates on these things.
Well, the 2 year for update is a thing worth mentioning. Do you remember back in the day when you wanted to get a passport renewal? You know, you pretty much had to file for it before you got the one that you currently had because it did take 2 years. That service is now superb.
Yes, it is in its peak time now. So typically a normal renewal will be about 2 weeks, they will say, which is great.
And all by post and doing it off your phone.
Yeah, correct. And mine have always come back quicker than that. A simple renewal. It's when you get into complex renewals like a first passport, a changed surname, a child who has to submit additional details about guardianship and that kind of stuff. It can get a bit longer, or if you're renewing from living overseas. But by and large, it's an absolute dream of a system.
What about prepping for the travel process itself? Because more and more I'm seeing airlines that have decided we are not spending a fortune on putting entertainment in the back of all of our seats. Bring your own.
Yeah, so I'm sure loads of listeners will do that, and they'll text in their tips. But you can download stuff in advance on Netflix and whatnot. You know, you're looking at Ryanair. On the back of the seat is your safety card the whole way. But if you can have your own movies and your own episodes and all the rest of it. Incidentally, you can order food to the seat now from the Ryanair app, which is kind of cool. You don't have to wait for the trolley to come down to you. I do that, and then I double check on your banking app if you can let them know that you're going overseas, because if you don't travel often and suddenly a couple of transactions come up in, I don't know, Malaga, Faro, wherever you're going to be, sometimes your card can be frozen.
I find they don't believe you. I find if you get in touch and say, look, I'm going away, can I put it in? They say, yeah, no problem. We put a note in your account, and then they immediately cancel you when you walk in.
No, do they? Like,
yeah, anytime I ring them, as soon as I do the first transaction abroad, I get the thing that says
that's funny.
Callous.
I haven't had that done in ages. I wonder, you flagged for other reasons. what are you buying? The other thing I do to avoid, my bank charges a 46 cent every time I tap my card overseas. I'm sure other banks are similar. So I've taken to just putting money on Revolut or a similar. I'm sure there are competing apps you could use as well. But it's just handy. Those fees do add up. It's small change at the end of the day. But I don't know, if you make like 50 taps while you're overseas, it can
add up.
It's just,
what about then the actual navigation of the process? Because you're a man who's in and out of airports all the time.
Yeah.
Things like fast tracking, security, car parking. What tips have you got?
Book the parking now. Don't wait. Don't leave that on the long finger. And in Dublin Airport, particularly, the busy weekends can sell out. Although the new Park to Travel is open, as you know, that's the one that had been closed since the pandemic. Park to Travel, it's called. And they have, it's basically an extra long term facility with thousands. I've booked it, and I'll see what it's like this time, and I'll let you know when I get back. But they say the shuttles go every 12 minutes.
So, and some of the local hotels around there also have parking facilities, don't they?
Do,
a park and ride facility.
Yeah, they do as well. And Dublin Airport has its red and blue, and it's short term. But it can add up, but you don't want to get caught out. Fast track is worth it if you do, it's like 7 to 12 quid or whatever, if you feel like you want that extra little luxury. These things do add up. You can also buy, as a treat, access to the lounge. Although in busy times, I'm not sure how much of a plus that is. They can be quite crowded, and if memory serves, 20 to 30 quid to buy in per person.
So now, which lounge? Because there's about 19 different lounges
depending on which terminal you're in and everything else. It'll depend on the airline you're using. But if you buy it through Dublin Airport, it's Dublin Airport's lounge that you get access to.
Now, the one thing on that, though, is if you compare the lounge costs depending on when you're flying, to feeding yourself, the cost of food sometimes airside eats a long way into the cost of the lounge where they feed you for free.
That's true, but you will get more. There's more food options outside of the lounges. You have to pay, obviously, but you can sit down, you can get the takeaway from the mezzanine level place, you can go into the, I forget the name of all the restaurants now, except Supermax, funnily enough. Yeah, so you do have more choice. The lounges tend to offer a little bit of exclusivity, a sit down with a view and a choice of basic snacks and food. Let's put it that way.
I obviously spoke to earlier text saying, I applied for a passport renewal at the start of June.
Right.
I will receive it in early August. That's unusual. That's not the norm.
It does sound unusual. So I wonder, is it a complex renewal? Were all the documents there, or did they have to supply something else, or was there something involved? Usually quicker than that. While we're on the checklist, your travel insurance, I would take that out now rather than wait till the week before you go and think, oh, you know, I'm saving a few bob here. The reason for that is if you have to cancel your holiday before you go, you know, it could be due to illness or any reason at all, but you'll then have the cancellation.
And if it's a European holiday that you're going on, and if you have the travel card that you describe,
is the
insurance necessary?
So travel insurance does have medical cover and does have health cover, but it also covers you against other things such as cancellation or theft or issues that you'll run into on the ground that are not related to health at all. So you should have both. One isn't a substitute for the other. And by the way, the difference in ease of just presenting at an A&E with an EHIC card versus trying to claim everything back through travel insurance is huge.
Word of warning on the EHIC card, a text saying, I had an EU medical card in Portugal, but I was treated in a private clinic, which I didn't realise. They said afterwards they don't accept EU medical card, and I received a big medical bill for private clinic care.
That has the potential to just ruin your well-earned holiday. On a similar note, keep your travel insurance emergency contact number handy, and I understand not every emergency is different, but if you can call it before you book or go into the treatment, they will tell you what's acceptable for them and you avoid that situation in the insurance. But yes, for EHIC, it has to be public.
More votes for the new version of the passport office. Anton, I applied for my passport first week of June, got passport in 2 working days. Couldn't believe it. Another said had to renew 2 passports, standard renewals over 18s, did them online, got them back in 4 working days, unbelievably quick. I couldn't get over it because it is such a sea change from the way that system used to be.
You remember that, going down to the post office and waiting and sweating and you as a rule of thumb.
Sure, TDs in business getting people through that process.
Some countries, for example, Turkey and Dubai and Thailand, have a 6 month, after you return home, you have to have 6 months validity on your passport. So it's another reason to get it done early. And it's a good idea to check the note, put it in your diary. Mine expires in 2027, whatever it may be, 6 or 7 months ahead to get it done.
Lastly, what about things like car hire?
So car hire, my main tip there is you mightn't need it for the full week. Can you book it for 2 days for your excursions to save a bit of money? And the other thing is there's a product called Car Hire Excess Insurance. And what that is basically, I pay an annual fee of about 58 quid. Every time I rent a car, I don't need to buy an upgraded insurance that reduces the excess to zero, basically. So you know the way when you get to the desk and they say, here you go, you're all set, nice holiday. Now, let's talk about excess, let's talk about insurance. And you have a toddler hanging out of your leg and you're knackered and you just go, yeah. So this will basically cover you against that and stuff like things stolen out of the car and windscreen damage. And there are several insurers. I don't have a recommendation. I don't want to endorse any, but just have a look at it. It might be for you.
And are there any tips in terms of finding cheaper insurance? Are there any particularly, or not insurance, car hire? Or is it just do the legwork and search through a couple of the sites?
Yeah, I in all these years of doing it, I look at the airport I'm going to. I see who has a desk there. I will check 3 of them and I'll just go. There are aggregator sites like there are for flights and all the rest. And you can try 1 or 2. And sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. I've also tried booking through the airline process. So, you know, when you book your Aer Lingus or Ryanair flight, they'll have a car hire deal. So I'll have 2 or 3 windows open and just do a quick check. Usually the savings are pretty minimal on the airline sites, I have to say.
Have you experimented by doing it with a VPN, with a virtual private network? I did it to one location that I was going to, and there was a 7 times multiple in cost difference. Yeah, if it thought you were a local, it charged you 1 price. If it thought you were a tourist, it charged you
the
price.
Technically, that's beyond me, but that sounds like it's worth looking into. Maybe that's why your card is getting blocked in all these places.
That's exactly it. Paul, thank you very much. That is Paul O'Connell, who is Irish Independent Travel Editor.